Amen. Now let's just pray together in a word of prayer, please. You may be seated. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your presence already with us. And again, Father, we commit ourselves unto thee. And we pray now, Lord, that you would bless the reading of thine own infallible, inerrant word, the holy scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation and enable us to live lives that are glorifying to thee. And we pray, Lord, for speaker and listener alike, Lord, that we'll know the divine aid of the Holy Ghost this morning. And Lord, that we might go away from this place saying, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Lord, do us good and be with us now, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's read together, please, from the New Testament. I invite you to open your Bible in the Gospel by John. And we just want to read together just the first 8 verses of the first chapter by John. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 1. And we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Amen. And oh God, well bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, by way of introduction this morning, I want to draw your attention to verse 7. Of our first 6 of our scripture reading. And it's the words of John, the beloved disciple, that disciple whom Jesus loved, one of the intimate 3, that disciple who leaned on the bosom of Jesus and felt the heartbeat of the eternal God. And this John writing about another John, the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ, summing up John's life, simply says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, as you read the Word of God, you will find that this John, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, was unique in so many ways, so much so that the Lord Jesus said that there was none born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And you'll remember that he was one of 3 lifetime Nazarites that are mentioned in the Word of God. And if you read Numbers chapter 6, you'll find there that you have the law of the Nazarite. And the Nazarite wasn't permitted to cut his hair. He wasn't permitted to drink wine. He wasn't permitted to touch any dead body. And John, from the earliest days, from the moment he was born, like Samuel and Samson, he was a lifelong Nazarite, dedicated, separated, consecrated unto the Lord. Now, one of the remarkable things about John is this. One great privilege that was given to him was to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, in the waters of Jordan. And what a moment that was at the commencement of the public 3.5-year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the disciples were gathered and others, and John went down into the waters of baptism. And there he baptized the one who was altogether lovely. And of course that was one of the great Trinitarian experiences that are mentioned in the Word of God. when we have heaven opened and the voice was heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." God the Father was there. Then, of course, the Holy Spirit came and descended like a dove and rested upon the lovely head of the Savior, that head that soon, 3.5 years later, was going to be crowned with a crown of thorns. And then, of course, we had not only God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but we had God manifest in the flesh, even the Son of God himself. And what an experience, what a moment it must have been for John to be able to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember on one occasion there was a baptism when we were out in Israel, and three ministers' sons were baptized. And my own son Andrew, the Reverend William McCrae's, one of his sons was baptized, and the Reverend Fred Greenfield, his son Paul, also was baptized. And you know, it was a thrill to see three sons of the man Saul passing through the waters of the baptism. But you know, it pales into insignificance when you think of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a baptism like this ever again, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were there on that occasion. Now, the thought that I want to leave with you concerning this man that was sent from God, he had an experience of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And this is what I believe made him greater than any other man born of woman, that he had this Trinitarian, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost experience of the Trinity. And I just want to think about that this morning and consider three things with you. And I want you to notice, first of all, that John was sent by God the Father. That's the first outstanding thing here, that John was sent by God the Father. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Look at verse 8, and you have the emphasis again. He was not that light, listen, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And there is this double emphasis here, that he was a man sent from God. He was sent by God the Father on a mission. And what a mission that was, that he was going to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And oh, Christian, that you would realize something of your high calling in Christ this morning, that every one of us are sent by God the Father to do a service and a work for him. Remember, later on in the same gospel, the Lord Jesus himself was speaking, and he says that the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And as our Lord Jesus was sent out into the world with a divine commission, if you're saved and converted and your life is consecrated to the Lord, then you're a man and woman with a mission. God has sent you to be a witness for him. I had the privilege of knowing the late Len Moles, the International Secretary of the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, a great missionary and a humble man of God, if ever there was one. When he was a young boy, he joined the Scout Movement, which was founded by Lord Baden-Powell, and scouts were having a jamboree, what they call, and a collection of scouts from all over the world, different nationalities being represented, and they were having this in London, and they were under canvas, they were living in tents, and so was the chief scout. And Len, when he was just a young cub, just a young boy, he was chosen with another lad to be a messenger and to stand at the tent of the chief scout. And if he had a message to deliver to anyone, he would come and he would hand it to the young boys, and they would run as swiftly as they could with the message for whom it was intended. And I remember Len telling as a young boy, he never forgot the thrill when Lord Baden-Powell came out of his tent and he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Young man, deliver this message." He said, "I never forgot the touch of Lord Baden-Powell." He was so honored, he was so thrilled. But you know, Len Moles grew up, became an army major, very well educated, trained for the army, became a major. Then God saved him, and God called him to be a missionary. And Len in the early days went to Tibet, and there among the Tibetans he labored in the gospel and won souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Moles told in his testimony how that he could never forget that moment as a young man when the Lord Jesus, with the nail-pierced hand, laid hold of him, touched him, and commissioned him, and told him to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I wonder, is the nail-pierced hand going to lay its hand on your shoulder? Are you going to say, "Lord, here am I. Oh, may I be a man with a mission this week among the children's meetings. There's a need for workers. There's a need for men and women to come and to roll up their sleeves and to do the job and to get involved and to do something for the Master." Remember, the Lord Jesus said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And thank God there's a work for Jesus. Listen, none but you can do. And remember this, at the end of life's journey, the Lord will not say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," if you have not done well. Oh, may the Lord help us to do well and to receive those words of commendation from the Savior. He was a man who was sent by God the Father. But could I also suggest this, that he not only was sent by God the Father, but John the Baptist, he spoke of God the Son. He spoke of God the Son. He was a man not only with a mission, but he was a man with a message. And his message could just be summed up in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his message from start to finish. If you look there again in verse 7, it says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light." And you'll notice this word "witness." 3 times you have it here. And it outlines the mission for John the Baptist, that he was called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something about John further down the chapter. And as you read down later on down the chapter in verse 19, if you look there, it says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" My, we could have answered that, couldn't we? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Now watch this. Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" Now listen to this. "What sayest thou of thyself?" I wonder what you and I would have said. "Oh, I'm so and so. I belong here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that." And my, we could have praised ourselves so well. But I want you to notice what John does here. And it says in verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I want you to notice this, a voice is something that is heard and not seen. I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Don't look at me. Listen to the voice. That voice said, he must increase and I must decrease. And John never forgot that he was only the friend of the bridegroom. And John always gave the preeminence to Christ, and he was always willing to step back into the shadows that the Lord Jesus might have the preeminence. He spoke of God the Son, and we could go into verse after verse and what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ. But his cry was, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was a witness for the Savior. And that's what God has called us to do. I remember reading in the life story of Dr. Bob Senior, the founder of Bob Jones University, probably one of the greatest fundamental, if not to me anyway, the greatest fundamental Bible college over in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Bob was a great preacher, great evangelist, rubbed shoulders with people like Billy Sunday and others, and built great, what they called wooden cathedrals, and hundreds of people would flock into them, and sinners would hit the sawdust trail and get gloriously saved from every walk of life. And on one occasion, Dr. Bob, as a young man, he got an invitation to address educationalists, people from the world of education, all these top-notch people. And he made up his mind, I'll preach the best academic sermon that I could possibly preach. And he studied and he prepared well and he put a lot of scholarship and learning into this sermon. I'll make a great impression. They'll not forget who Bob Jones is. And so he went along to the large meeting. There was a choir singing and they sang before he got up to preach. And the piece they were singing was this, make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Dr. Bob sitting there was an arrow of conviction struck his heart. And a tear came to his eye and a lump in his throat. He put his head down and he said, oh God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I've been here to make an impression for Bob Jones, not the Lord Jesus. He just took his manuscript and he crumpled it up. He threw it to the side, opened his Bible, and he got out an old gospel outline and he preached the old message of the cross, that Christ Jesus came in to the world to save sinners. Oh, beloved, we're not here to make an impression. We're here to introduce others to the Savior. Ye shall listen, be witnesses unto me. Not the free church, not to yourself, not to any preacher, but you're called to be a witness for Christ, who alone is mighty to save. John the Baptist, he was sent by God the Father. John the Baptist, he spoke of God the Son. But let me tell you this, John the Baptist, he was surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He was surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Now, we haven't time to read it all, but when you go home, read Luke chapter 1 and the passage which deals with the visitation of the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And he told him many wonderful things. And in verse 15 of Luke 1, he said, concerning this Nazarite, concerning this man who was going to be sent by God the Father and speak of God the Son, he said, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Now, people ask me the question, what does that mean? Well, it just means what it says in plain English. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now, I've no doubt this was what made him great in the sight of the Lord, that he knew in reality the experience of being possessed, being indwelt, being filled, his life being under the control of God the Holy Ghost. Do you ever notice in the New Testament, in the epistles of Paul, that there's three commandments given to us concerning the Holy Spirit? First of all, we're told to quench not the Spirit. And that's like putting a light out, a candle out. You're not to put the light, the witness, the Holy Spirit out in your life. You're not to quench the Holy Spirit. And then Paul takes it up again in Ephesians, and he says, grieve not the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit. Don't wound. Don't hurt. Don't disappoint the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit. And then he gives us a third command in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And he says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit meant to be under the sovereign control of the Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit. You're totally surrendered and sold out to God and under the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in your life. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, being used of God in evangelistic campaigns throughout the United States of America, a young man, never went to college, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost and had apostolic power to turn cities upside down by the preaching of the gospel. On one occasion, a group of ministers and businessmen in a large city were having a meeting to discuss whether or not they'd invite Dwight Moody to come and to have an evangelistic campaign in their city. And some of the ministers resented Moody. After all, he had never been properly ordained. He had never went through a theological hall. He had never been properly trained for the work of the ministry. And one minister got on his feet and he said, I wonder would you tell me, he said, does Dale Moody have the monopoly over the Holy Ghost? Very sarcastically. And an old brother stood to his feet and he said, no, sir, with all due respect, D.L. Moody doesn't have the monopoly over the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost has the monopoly over D.L. Moody, and that's what makes him so different. D.L. Moody was filled with the Spirit. And the command there is in the present continuous tense in the Greek. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit every day you live. And it was said of D.L. Moody that he took United States with one hand and the United Kingdom with the other hand. And through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, he lifted both nations towards heaven in revival blessing. You know how it all started? One night as a young man, he was attending a service conducted by evangelist Henry Farley. And Henry Farley just made this simple statement, but yet very profound. And he said this, the world has yet to see what God can do with a life that is wholly surrendered to him. And Moody came out of the warm meeting into the cool air, and he stood, and he said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And he was. Moody became known as the man that moved the multitudes, a man sent from God, sent by God the Father, spoke of God the Son, surrendered to the Holy Ghost. I wonder this morning, will you say, young person, older person, by the grace of God, I'll be that person, I'm going in for all that God has for my life. May the Lord write his precious word upon our hearts this morning.